I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I appreciate being here. I appreciate the messages. I like great preachers. It's the greatest preachers in the world today. Preaching the gospel of the grace of God. There is no other message. If it don't include what Christ did and what he accomplished for you, what you have in Christ, it ain't worth preaching. So I appreciate all the gospel and the messages, and I'm looking forward to Brother Jerry's. I appreciate Brother Byron for having me down. And Lord willing, if you keep on having a conference down here, it just keep on growing.
Amen.
So I hope you continue. I want you to notice this. I know Jerry probably, and Byron, and you other preachers in here. You know, you plan, you think, well, this is what I'm going to speak on. You get everything. You points and all that. And then it changes. And you're left with just nothing. So this is what has happened. I had it all planned out, and it changed. So I don't know exactly what we're going to get into, but here we go, okay? All right, I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And them blessings is in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. And it's where we're headed. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That in verse 4, that we should be holy and without blame, this is our standing that we have in Christ Jesus. Now, everything we have in Christ. You don't accomplish nothing in your flesh. In fact, the Lord said that there should be no flesh glory in his presence. Our blessing, our standing will never change. You're without blame before him in love. You're holy without him, in him. You're holy. You're righteous in him. You're sanctified in him. I want to look at some things that you have in Christ Jesus that nothing can change that in God's eyes toward you. Now that's your standing. Now your state can change. Your attitude toward the Lord, toward this Bible, can change. But that don't change your standing. That's just going to change your rewards when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So I want you to understand that we are secure in Christ. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm in Christ right now. I'm as pure in God's eyes and as righteous as Jesus Christ. Why? I have his righteousness imputed, put to my account. Now listen, someday I'm going to have a crown of righteousness. Then I'll have it imparted in a new body. That crown of righteousness is not just something, a little hat we wear. And we're going to be wearing around a little righteous hat in eternity. That crown of righteousness. In fact, before we go any further, turn to Hebrews and look in Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 2, I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 2. And notice a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set over him the works of thy hand. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So Jesus Christ was crowned with glory and honor, and we will have a crown of righteousness. We'll have a righteous body to go with our righteousness, new man that we have in Christ in eternity out there. Folks, you're not going to be just a spirit floating around some more, plucking a string on the heart once in a while. I mean, you're going to have a position. You're going to have a new body. You're going to, Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building made without hands, eternal in the heavens. I believe right now, if I could go where God Almighty is, I believe I could see that there is a body that God has prepared for me right now in heaven. Amen. It's there. And I will have it someday. Now, my standing, that's never going to change. I will be complete righteous someday. Now, I want you to notice something. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians and look in 2 Corinthians. God today is not advancing the kingdom like I heard a guy say this morning. He's not advancing trying to get the world saved so he can come back and sit upon the throne. The Lord is creating something. He's already created it, and he's calling it. Now look at this thing. First of all, I want you to see our sanctification. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I probably give you a wrong idea, chapter 1. You just have to wait till I get there. I told you I'm left with nothing, you know. Notice in verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. You know what earnest is. That's like a down payment. You pay earnest money on property, and you give that to seal the contract between you. And so we have the Holy Spirit. In other words, God Almighty gave you and sealed you with the Holy Spirit, and that's the assurance that he's going to finish what he started with you. Now, notice the word anointing. That word anointing indicates separated out from God. I looked that word up, and I began to think about that word. They would anoint men with oil and pour it on top of their head. It wasn't like they put a little bit of dab on their fingers and done this and all that. No, they did it in the bottle. I mean, they would run down the beard. It would run down all over them. It would cover them. It also has to do with rubbing. It's like you rub something in. You cover it. You shed it on them. Right? You put it all over them. Anointing. Do you realize that anointing that he's talking about there? Notice this thing about sanctification. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So it sets you apart. The anointing sets you apart in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This anointing is the work of the Lord. It's God, who is Christ, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You don't have no part in this sanctification. It's not something that you do. In fact, look in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice sanctification, setting apart. Now, a lot of religions today say it's a work of grace. If God does that, he has already sanctified you. He anointed you. Notice what he says in chapter 5. He said there in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Two things in that verse. You are sanctified, you wholly. And he said, I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, folks, that body, ain't nothing, that's something you got to work on. But the sanctifying of you, look at that in verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God does the sanctifying you into the body. Amen. You don't have nothing to do with it. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Notice what he says there in chapter 2. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit in the belief of the truth. The truth there is the gospel. Verse 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Everything's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He does the sanctifying. He does the glorifying. He does everything, and you are in him if you trusted what he did for you on the cross, in the gospel, as the brother brought out. Now, I want you to notice three things. God today has a creation. That creation is the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, I want you to think about when God was in the garden. And the Bible said he formed man out of the dust of the earth. Now, I don't believe that man was laid out and God Almighty worked on. I believe that God formed him and he was made upright. And I believe that when God Almighty finished creating Adam in the garden, there he stood. Only in lay, I believe, in standing. And the Bible said that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God breathed into him, can you imagine? There's Adam. There he is. He's a body there. And God breathes into his nostrils, and Adam opens his eyes. Who does he see? He sees his Creator. Do you realize we are the body of Christ? Do you realize that God today is just like he's created Adam, he's creating a new man? And if you're in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is therefore a new creation, and you're a new creation because you're in the new creation of God. He doesn't change your flesh. You still got the same old, but he has a body prepared for you, and we won't get into that. I just want you to see the creation part. Turn with me to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 6. And hath raised us up together. Just like the brother talked. We died with him on the cross. We were crucified with him. Our old man was crucified. That the body of the sins of the flesh. Do you know what the body of the sins of the flesh? It's sort of like a legal term. Have you in a legal manner of court? It's the body of evidence that's against them. All of that body of evidence that that the prosecutor can take and try this man. They bring the body of evidence. That old man was crucified, that the body of the sin, everything that could condemn you, was nailed to that cross. And the prosecuting attorney, he has no evidence against you right now. You know, that's enough to get excited. These people, but anyway, but look what he said. We're raised. We died with him. We were buried with him. Our old man was buried. And we came up out of that tomb with him. We were raised with him. And you know something? The Paul said that when he came up, he was a quickening spirit. He's the second man, the Lord from heaven. He is God Almighty come out of that tomb. I came out with it. Now, if God be for you, who could be against you? And all of these things. But look what he said. He said, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us to sit together that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we, the body, all of us that are saved, for we are his workmanship. We're God's workmanship. God's doing the work. The Lord's doing it. He's doing the creating. Adam didn't have nothing to do with how his body was created. Adam didn't have nothing to do with it. And bless your soul, you don't have anything. We are his workmanship. And he says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Folks, I want to tell you, we're created in Christ Jesus. Now the second thing, this body, this creation, is like the Lord himself. Now, Paul used a lot, you know, of applications. And he used the book of Isaiah a lot. And he used it like we, there are historical applications, there is a doctrinal application to the scripture, there's a spiritual application you can make to the scripture. And Paul went back in the Old Testament a lot of times, and he made a spiritual application to get across a truth that the Lord had revealed to him. I want to do something like that this morning, but I want you to see something about this, the Lord himself. Turn with me and look. Second thing I want you to remember, God's creation is the first thing. He's the creator. He's the one that's creating the body. Second thing, that body is what's keeping the wrath of God off of this world today, and yet the world don't even appreciate it. Look with me and take Isaiah, and notice in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Folks, you're in a special thing with the Lord. This is the greatest dispensation of all.
Amen.
It's the longest dispensation that I know of. I mean, for almost 2,000 years. And God is creating this body. He put everything on hold. And yet this body is keeping the wrath of God off of this world. Look in Isaiah chapter 59. Notice what he says, and I'm just going to start in verse 14. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the streets, equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. For and he that departed from an evil maketh himself a prey. Isn't that so today? You know, you preach the word of God rightly divided, and you depart from the religions of the world, you know what you become? You become a prey. They'll be out hunting you down. They'll be out trying to destroy your ministry. They'll be out lying and cheating, trying to anything they can to get you stopped. Look what he said, himself a prey, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness is sustained in him. It sustained him. His righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, as a helmet of salvation upon his head. Don't that sound like what Paul's describing in several places of the body of Christ? We have the helmet of salvation. Put you on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the breastplate of righteousness. He goes on, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the isles he will repay. You notice what that verse, brother, there is a day coming over here that is the day of wrath. And soon as the Lord gets the body created and clothed, what happened after that? Fury upon his enemies. Right in now, in here, we were created by him. I believe we were created in the heart of the earth, down there with the Lord. We'll look at that in a moment. You say, well, I don't believe that. Believe what you want to believe, man. This is America. And nobody, if you don't like it, next time you hear that I'm around, just don't come and listen to me. Look what he said. He said, according to their deeds, according to, he will repay. Look over in Ezekiel. And notice in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. Everywhere you find this, you find that right. Look in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord. If there was a man, the wrath of God wouldn't have came, right? He sought for a man to stand in the gap. What do we call this right here? It's a gap and a new, what? A new man.
Amen.
It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's us. We're the body of Christ. Folks, you're not going to go through the wrath. Bless your heart, you're the one just keeping it off of the world.
Amen.
Now when this thing, turn to with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. We're sanctified in this body. We're set apart in this body. We're holy in this body. Our standing will never change in this body. Now your attitude, why are you in there, Mike? I've known people that, oh yeah, they just believe the truth. Oh man, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, great day in the morning. Oh, this is wonderful. A little persecution comes. And they're gone. If I had, you know, our church, we're running about 350 people. I just hadn't called about 50. If I had, and my wife, and they've met, we have a lot of people that started out that came in there. I'd have a church full if everybody was stuck. I'm talking about the glue. Your state, your attitude, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's your attitude there. That's what's going to be at the judgment seat. It can change if you let it, but your state won't. I want you to look in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, notice what he said. Talking about the day of Christ, verse 4, talking about the Antichrist, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doeth already work. Only he who now left will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, when he's taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all deceivability of unrighteousness in them that perish. Now why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Verse 12, that they all might be what? Damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, that I believe the strong delusion. Say, well, it's the Antichrist. Well, there's something about the Antichrist. I read in Revelation chapter 13 that one of the deadly heads is wounded to deadly, mortal wound, resurrected. And I believe that the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, somebody's going to assassinate him, and he's going to be resurrected, and he's going into that temple as the beast, and he's going to say, I am God. And they don't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't believe that is for our justification. They don't really put their faith in that, but they will believe because they can see the Antichrist, and they'll overhear it. He's got to be God. Folks, the point is, he'll be revealed. Only he who now letteth will let, but he be taken out of the way. I believe the he is this new man.
Amen. Amen.
We're keeping the wrath of God out of the home of us. And the last thing I want you to see, and I'm going to the Old Testament. I want you, before we do that, turn with me and look in 2 Corinthians. And I can take 1 Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I believe the Lord did something. I believe God did something in the heart of the earth. And you can disagree, that's fine. They don't like to say, you know, everybody's to their own opinion. Opinions is like armpits. Some smell all right, some don't. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice what he said. And I think it has to do with the rapture, the first part. But, you know, again, that's my opinion. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon. I believe that's what's going to happen at the rapture.
Amen.
Clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He wrought, he works, he did a work. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? Now the power is to you, to usward. Who believe according to the working of his mighty power, well, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Was Christ the only one that came up out of that grave? No, he wasn't. There were some other people who came up with him, wasn't there?
Yeah.
and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Look in chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 8, wherefore he said, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. Look what he did in verse 8. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, well, on high then is above all heavens, is out there, folks. And he said, wherefore when he ascended up, he led the captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. And folks, that's a quotation out of Psalm. And you know the captivity captive? That's going to get you.
Amen.
That's the body of Christ. Now, turn with me to Psalms 139. And notice in Psalms 139. Verse 13. For thou hast possessed my raiment. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. No doubt about it, this is in the mother's womb. Child, being born. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I believe verse 13 and 14 is a reference to the natural birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in my mother's womb. No. Curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth is a secret. God made something down there that was a secret. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. God has never saved a perfect person. They're all imperfect. And in thy book, all my members, what are we called? Members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. They were raw. God set them in the body, when as yet there was none of them, had even been born. Jesus Christ is the head. That's where the body began. He's the head. He went into the lowest parts of the earth. He wrought and put together a creation. And brother, when he came up out of that tomb, he told Mary, touch me not. I've not yet ascended unto the Father. And brother, he took the captivity back, and they're seated out there. And while we're done, he's waiting till they get full. And then he's going to judge the world.
Yes.
Thank God for grace.
Amen.
You don't have to wring your hands and wonder about it. If you've trusted Christ, you're in this new man that was wrought down there. You can't beat that with us. Man, that's
good news.
To me, that's wonderful.
It's awesome.